From our God who loves us with an everlasting love, who brings forth a new creation in Christ, who leads us by the Spirit in the wilderness, grace and abundant mercy be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Creator God, you prepare a new way in the wilderness, and your grace waters our desert. Open our hearts to be transformed by the new thing you are doing, that our lives may proclaim the extravagance of your love given to all through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Our first reading is from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth, do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 126 responsively. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream.
Then are our mouths filled with laughter, and our tongues with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them.
The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses of the land.
Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy.
Those who go out weeping, carrying the seed, will come again with joy, shouldering their sheaves.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Our second reading is from Philippians. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal, for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Jesus Christ. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me." The Gospel of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, "I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" Isaiah said that there is something new in the air, so close you can almost smell it. Newness has a smell to it. I used my Christmas money, thank you very much, to get my living room sofa recovered. Now that ugly brown plaid is covered up with deep, rich red leather. And the whole downstairs smelled like new leather for weeks. In fact, I still think it smells like leather in my house. You know, you can get those car fresheners that smell like new leather so your old car can smell like a new car. Maybe that's why we Fabrize is such a big seller. We want our old even to smell new. Thus says the Lord, "I am about to do a new thing." God calls his people through the prophet Isaiah to smell this new thing that he's doing. He says, don't keep thinking about the things that were, but think about the things that are to be. Israel needed to remember that God was indeed capable of great deeds, like leading them out of slavery in Egypt into a new land. But God told them not to dwell on those wonderful days of the past, because days are coming when things will be glorious in a new way. I am about to do a new thing. And here we are, 5 weeks into Lent, as we make our journey into a renewed relationship with the Lord, we hear this invitation to see fresh, new things from God. Have you ever thought about what your purpose is in life? Why do you exist? What are you supposed to do? Well, according to that reading from Isaiah, it would appear that we all share one common purpose. And that last verse tells us that people are created to declare God's praise. Whatever else we might do, we are created for that purpose, to give God honor and worship with our words and our deeds and our lives. A life of declaring God's praise is in response to the wonderful things that God has done in each one of us. You know, every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we give God praise for all that God has done and is doing on earth and in heaven. Here's the thing. We have been created by God to be co-creators of the good and collaborators with God. God's will is our secret heart's desire. Deep inside of us are created hearts that we created for God, want what God's will is. Martin Marty, a contemporary Lutheran theologian, writes that too often when people say, "Thy will be done," they say it as a prayer of resignation, as if God's will is contrary to what our own welfare would be. But rather, he says, we must shout, "Thy will be done," as a battle cry for God's sovereignty in our hearts and in the whole world. So when we pray, "Thy will be done," it's not like, "Well, whatever goes, whatever you want, God," but rather proclaiming, "Thy will be done," that this is what God wants, is what is good for the world, and what in our created hearts, what we want as well. It's "Thy will be done" is not a reluctant acceptance of the inevitable, but it's about God being praised and honored on earth and in heaven. It's about God doing a new thing in us and in the world. In order to make way for the new, the old has to be given up. And Paul says that just like the new has a smell, he tells us that the old things have a smell too. In fact, he says that his old life smells like garbage. The Greek word here is skubala. I love that word. I wish I had more opportunity to use it. Skubala. It doesn't mean just rubbish, doesn't mean just trash. It means smelly, stinky, rotting trash. The kind of bad smell that when you even think about it, you have to wrinkle your nose. Paul says, "Everything without Christ I regard as loss, as rubbish, as skubala." Everything without Christ. In this letter to the Philippians, Paul isn't just sharing some of the details of his life to help us know him better. He's telling us about the change that has come into his life as a result of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. He is sharing this new perception, this new thing concerning his life, the purpose of his life. The old way, the way without Jesus, just plain stinks. Life with Christ has a sweet aroma. Paul has been completely transformed by faith in Jesus Christ. He's left his former life behind, and he has launched into something new that God has in store for him, and he has done it with no regret. At AA meetings and other 12-step meetings, there's usually a number of witness talks. "This was what my life was like, but now it's a new thing. My life was garbage, was stinky, but now it's been transformed." People in recovery can really understand these readings, appreciate these readings about God doing a new thing. Well, what about you? Are there things in your life that you need to leave behind in order to live the life that God has created you to live, in order for you to be this new thing, and in order for you to declare the wonderful things that God has done and is doing in you? Once using, now recovery. Once bound by sin, now set free in baptism, once painfully resigned to the will of God, now proclaiming God's will be done on earth and in heaven. During Lent, we hear these scriptures that urge us to examine our life and to make the changes that we need. That fig tree that we heard about a few weeks ago, the one that was producing no fruit, that was given more time to become what it was created to be, more time to become fruitful and productive. Is there fruit being produced in your life more than it once was? What is it that's producing a sweet aroma of newness in your life this spring? The prodigal son, his elder brother, and their forgiving father taught us lessons last week. We have been given time to come to our senses, to give up our resentments, to enter into a celebration of new life with God. The father forgives, and he rejoices and celebrates with both of his sons. Jesus didn't tell enough of this story, as far as I'm concerned. I'd like to know what happened. I'd like to look at that family 6 months into that story. Was the younger son sincere in his repentance, or did he just need a meal? Did the elder son forgive his father and forgive his brother as well? Did he ever go into that party and enjoy? And did the father ever regret that he had forgiven? In a number of ways, all three had been dead, but are now alive. They were lost and now are found. They celebrate that new thing that's being done. I want to go back to that idea of smells and look at the gospel for today. This is the most fragrant reading of all. It's Passover time, 6 days before the feast, John says. And Jesus is in Bethany. It's a suburb of Jerusalem. The last time we heard about Jesus being in Bethany, there was a mention of a smell as well. That time it was the smell of a corpse that had been 4 days in the tomb. Now that stinking dead person is sitting at the table. Lazarus, a new thing. He's at the table with Jesus and Jesus' disciples, and they're eating a meal that's being served by his sister, Martha, the sister who confessed her faith in Jesus standing outside of her brother's tomb. Yes, Lord, I do believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. Yes, I do believe that there is a new thing being done through you. Now, thousands of pilgrims would be coming into that city of Jerusalem, making their way for the Passover rituals. Imagine the smells in that city, the crush of people, their waste, the carcasses of animals that have been used for blood sacrifice, the foods and the spices from the marketplace, all people and animals and everything all being cooked together under that hot desert sun. And into the midst of that comes this woman, Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, in her act of devotion and love. It's that John says, Mary took a pound of pure, costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. It was expensive perfume. It says that it cost a year's worth of money, a year's salary. So whatever you put down on that top line on your income tax, one bottle of perfume, and she pours it all out on Jesus' feet. A sign of extravagance, of lavishness, a sign of worship and devotion. She was indeed doing a new thing. Mary was anointing a living body, By doing this, she was saying that she believed what Jesus said about his going into Jerusalem to die. She showed her love, lavish, extravagant, in this act of discipleship. Not only was her anointing of Jesus a foreshadowing of his death and burial, but the washing and the drying of his feet was also foreshadowing of what Jesus would do in a few days hence in that upper room at a different dinner party. The mandate to do this in remembrance of me was already being fulfilled by this disciple, Mary. And most of all, the extravagant nature of anointing in the foreshadowing of the extravagant love of God that has been poured out on Jesus Christ with his arms extended on the cross. And isn't that just like our God? So extravagant, so lavish in his love for you and for me. Nothing is held back, not even the death of his son on a cross. God's love is so abundant and so generous that is poured out for us even while we are still sinners. Thus says the Lord, I am about to do a new thing. On this fifth Sunday in Lent, we're standing on the brink of Holy Week, that time set apart for us to remember this ultimate example of God's compassionate love for us. What lavish, extravagant love has been poured out for us. We cannot cling to the past when God is doing something new. We live in a world that desperately needs something new. This wondrous newness of God will be born out of conversion, not coercion. It will spring from repentance, not from reprisal. Not a painful resignation of God's will, but a joyful proclamation that God's will is done on earth and in heaven. It will take place in the daily lives of the baptized who are smelling the newness of God's spring and living in response to that. Thus says the Lord, I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Do you not smell it? The newness of God in your hearts. Amen.